I huddled everyone together, just outside the video conferencing center, and asked them to leave. Lisa spoke for the group. "Right, Dick. None of us are leaving you. So let's just go back in there. Hold on. We will be the next target. It's no shame to relocate. Some of you have kids, too. Think about them," I said, looking at Roger, whose second child was due in a few months. Roger didn't hesitate. "If we don't hold things together, no one will, and we don't have time for this." Then he brushed by me and walked back into the video conferencing center. Frank Miller grabbed a legal pad and said, "All right, if you're staying, sign your name here." "What the hell's the point of that?" Kurtz asked. Frank slowly scanned the group. "I'm going to email the list out of the compound so that the rescue teams will know how many bodies to look for." Everybody signed and walked back in. We resumed the video conference. "DOD, DOD, go," I asked the Pentagon for an update on the fighter cover. Dick Myers had a status report. "We have 3 F-16s from Langley over the Pentagon. Andrews is launching fighters from the D.C. Air National Guard. We have fighters aloft from the Michigan Air National Guard moving east toward a potential hostile over Pennsylvania. 6 fighters from Tyndall and Ellington are en route to rendezvous with Air Force One over Florida. They'll escort it to Barksdale. NORAD says that it will have AWACS over New York and Washington later this morning." Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz had relocated to the Alternate National Military Command Center outside Washington and now rejoined the conference. "We have to think of a message to the public. Tell them not to clog up the roads. Let them know we're in control of the airways. Tell them what's happening. Have somebody go out from the White House." "Paul," I said, "there's nobody in the White House but us, and no press on the grounds. I think the president will have something to say when he lands in Barksdale, but we have to be careful. We really don't know what's going on. Are attacks still underway? Anybody?" Dale Watson, counterterrorism chief at FBI, was waving at the camera, indicating he had an update. "Go ahead, Dale." "Dick, got a few things here. Our New York office reports that the Port Authority is closing all bridge and tunnel connections into Manhattan. We have a report of a large jet crashed in Kentucky near the Ohio line. We think we ought to order all landmark buildings around the country to evacuate, like the Sears Tower, Disney World, the Liberty Bell, the Transamerica building in San Francisco. This thing's still going on. And Dick, call me in SIOC when you can." SIOC, the Strategic Information and Operations Center, is the FBI's command center. Dale had something he did not want to share with everyone in the conference. Frank Miller took over the video conference, and I stepped outside and called Watson on a secure line. "We got the passenger manifests from the airlines," he said. "We recognize some names, Dick. They're Al-Qaeda." I was stunned. Not that the attack was Al-Qaeda, but that there were Al-Qaeda operatives on board aircraft using names that the FBI knew were Al-Qaeda. "How the fuck did they get on board, then?" I demanded. "Hey, don't shoot the messenger, friend. CIA forgot to tell us about them." Dale Watson was one of the good guys of the FBI. He had been trying hard to get the Bureau to go after Al-Qaeda in the United States with limited success. "Dick, we need to make sure none of this gang escapes out of the country like they did in 93. In 1993, many of the World Trade Center bombers had quickly flown abroad just before and after the attack. "Okay, I've got that." As we talked, we both saw on the monitors that WTC-2, the south tower of the World Trade Center, was collapsing in a cloud of dust. "Oh, dear God," Dale whispered over the line.